Today on Annenberg Radio News.
You know, it's our culture. We love it. But they're saying, like, their priority is rent, food, and shelter.
The economy puts pressure on retail stores in South L.A. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Thursday, October 9th, 2008. I'm Lata Pandya. State Treasurer Bill Lockyer says California revenues are likely to fall another $3 billion below earlier estimates. Lockyer says the struggling economy is to blame. He estimates the state will take in fewer taxes from individuals and businesses. The announcement is bad news for California lawmakers who are looking for loans to help the state pay its short-term expenses. The U.S. Customs and Border Protection officials announced today a dramatic increase in seizures of counterfeit and pirated goods, valuing over $70 million. Assistant Port Director for Trade Bonnie Lemert says teamwork is the main factor leading to the increase.
Working very, very closely with Immigration and Customs Enforcement, which is ICE. These teams do is they're designed to target high-risk shipments. We look at current trends and patterns and decide, okay, this is one that might be high-risk, and that might be one that we should examine.
Once counterfeit products are seized, Customs and Border Protection determines what will happen to the millions of dollars in goods. Lemert says with the permission of the manufacturer, many of the goods go to charity. Several high-profile officials spoke out today against Proposition 5, the Nonviolent Offender Rehabilitation Act. Deidre Crawford reports.
California Attorney General Jerry Brown, Los Angeles District Attorney Steve Cooley, and Sheriff Lee Baca joined the chorus of law enforcement organizations opposing Proposition 5. If passed, the act would direct $460 million a year to help nonviolent drug offenders find treatment rather than jail time. Opponents of the proposition say sufficient drug treatment programs already exist and new treatment programs will cost taxpayers about $1 billion. Sheriff Lee Baca's spokesman, Steve Whitmore, says the proposition would allow people who have committed serious crimes, like arson or child pornography, to escape jail time by entering treatment. And he says that doesn't always work.
Most people who go into a program leave that program, and it's an awful statistic, but it's a pretty real and true one. And so they ultimately come back into our jail.
Supporters of the proposition claim it will safely reduce the size of the prison population and potentially create $2.5 billion in savings. Margaret Dooley Sinulli is with the Drug Policy Alliance.
Well, Prop 5 is really going to change the way that the state intervenes in the lives of people with drug problems. It's going to create a system of care for young people. We currently don't have any help for young people with drug problems. That is absolutely unconscionable. It's unacceptable. So Prop 5 puts in a system that will intervene early, save those young lives, and prevent that crime from ever happening.
Voters will decide on Proposition 5 this November. Deidre Crawford, Annenberg Radio News.
People representing more than 100 countries all became U.S. citizens today in downtown Los Angeles. But as Jonathan Horn tells us, the path to naturalization is much more complicated than what a brief ceremony can show.
10 years. That's how long it took Colombian native Ampardo Grega to earn her U.S. citizenship.
Right here, you can reach your dreams and your goals. Sometimes in my country, it was difficult and challenging.
For British-born Brian Ryman, it was a matter of being able to carry out his civic duty.
I've been here a while, but I really wanted to become a citizen because I needed to vote this year.
And to the thousands of others beaming with pride, it was also a major relief.
The whole process was a year and a half, and, you know, I was very excited to get this finally a little monkey off my shoulder.
I feel great. Finally, yes. It's about time.
I had to wait for 2 years to be accepted, and then I had to renew my fingerprint, so it's a long process. It takes a while.
Most people have to live in this country for at least 5 years. Only then are they eligible to apply. After that, it's another year of interviews, background checks, and a 10-question exam. To pass, you need to get 6 right. Brian Ryman aced it.
I got 10 out of 10. Lord knows if I can still remember them. But.
And that's exactly why U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services began offering a new flashcard test just last week. People are still free to choose to take the traditional version, but Sharon Rummery of the USCIS says they can take more away from the new exam.
The old test, I might say, who was Martin Luther King? Civil rights leader. The new test, the question would be, what did Martin Luther King say? Studying the new test, you learn something about Martin Luther King.
Conveniently, Rummery had some flashcards with her. I thought I'd challenge myself to a question.
Name one state that borders Mexico.
California.
That's right. Name all four of them.
California, Texas, Arizona, New Mexico.
Yes, oh. You are smarter than the average bear.
Phew, that was a close one. I left the L.A. Convention Center soon after, keeping my perfect score intact. Jonathan Horn, Annenberg Radio News.
In weather, clear skies through most of tonight with low clouds and fog rolling in. Lows tonight will be around the 60s. Tomorrow will be sunny with highs near the 70s. A little cooler on Saturday with sunny skies and highs in the mid-60s to low 70s. Later on Annenberg Radio News, we take a closer look at the race for county supervisor. Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa and LA City Council members held a conference this morning to discuss the main goals of a plan to improve life in South Los Angeles. Julian Spencer reports.
Officials addressed the 10 goals outlined in the South Los Angeles Initiative this morning at the Community Center's Incorporated Occupational Center. The objectives include improvements in housing, education, business, and transportation. Mayor Villaraigosa says of the initiative's 10 goals, creating new jobs is one of the most crucial to kickstarting the region's economy.
If the unemployment, the national unemployment rate is at 6.2% and over 8% here in the city, we've got challenges. But we're not going to stand and let moss grow under our feet.
The initiative also calls for improving residents' quality of life through the expansion of retail. L.A. City Councilwoman Janice Hahn praised the value of a proposed movie theater and shopping center at the corner of Crenshaw Boulevard and Rodeo Road.
We talk all the time about telling our kids no. Say no to drugs. Say no to gangs. But we never given them anything to say yes to. This Watt Star Theater, I believe, will be a centerpiece in the Watts community as a symbol of hope.
The city hopes it will reach the South L.A. Initiative's goals by 2012. Julian Spencer, Annenberg Radio News.
The Mayor's South L.A. Initiative may be too late for some retail businesses in the Lamert Park neighborhood. Connie Kuo reports.
Lamert Park is a special getaway in Crenshaw that's home to many African shops. Immigrants from Nigeria, Ghana, and other parts of East Africa moved there to start businesses. Shops selling African art and clothing line the block, but with the economy in trouble, businesses are barely surviving. Queen Goddess Letitian, the owner of a clothing and African healing shop, has seen her business drop.
We have a hard time selling stuff for a dollar. And what's happening here in Lamert Park, a lot of the Afrocentric businesses is feeling it the most. You know, it's our culture, we love it, but they're saying like their priority is rent, food, and shelter.
Many shops in Lamert are closing down, and some shop owners can no longer afford to keep both their home and business.
All these people, they have businesses, but they're struggling, like their home fronts are struggling. They, you know, some people are about to lose their homes, everything, and they're trying to hold on to their business.
The problem is that the economy is slow, so people are spending their money on necessities such as food and gas. Most of the shops in Lamert Park offer a service or craft, things that people are choosing not to spend money on.
Brother Kwame, he's from Ghana. He has the Kamasi shop, and he was saying, like, he's going to retire now. He's like, he's going to go back to Africa. His business is just, like, barely holding on.
Shop owners in the area are planning to raise money to buy the buildings so they can share their African heritage with the community for years to come. Connie Kuo, Annenberg Radio News.
Supporters of State Senator Mark Ridley Thomas gathered downtown today to voice their support for the L.A. County Supervisor candidate. Yusuf Al-Haddad has the report.
Firefighters, social workers, deputy sheriffs, and others joined together to endorse Mark Ridley Thomas today. L.A. County Probation Officer Angela Thompson spoke out against Thomas's rival, Bernard C. Parks.
All he represents is the ideologies of Republicans and those that want to go ahead and enhance the back pockets of those that are already rich.
Psychiatric social worker Teddy McKenna explained the impact county supervisors have on Los Angeles.
As county employees, who is on the Board of Supervisors is very important to us because they establish the priorities for the county, they establish funding. So basically they control everything that happens in our county. They're very powerful folks.
Thompson stressed that police, firefighters, social workers, and others all rely on a competent county supervisor.
We need assistance. We need somebody who cares about the 2nd District. That chair is opening up. Put the right person in there. Simple as that.
Yusuf Al-Haddad, Annenberg Radio News.
With the County Board of Supervisor raised less than a month away, I spoke to Fernando Guerra, director for the Levy Center for Los Angeles at Loyola Marymount University, about the two candidates and how the campaign is shaping up.
We have State Senator Mark Ridley Thomas, who had previously served in the State Assembly and on the Los Angeles City Council, and Council Member Bernard Parks, who had previously been chief of police and had also previously run for mayor of Los Angeles. So two very well-known candidates. It is a nonpartisan election, which means that they don't run with a party designation, even though they are both Democrats.
Is it shaping up to be a fairly close race, or does one candidate have an obvious advantage over the other?
No, it's an extremely competitive race. Number one, the Board of Supervisors is the most powerful local legislative body in the United States of America. It controls a budget of over $20 billion, has a population of over 10 million people. If it were a state, it would be like the 8th or 9th largest state in the union. There is no mayor for the county. Therefore, the Board of Supervisors is both the legislative and executive branch, and it even has some quasi-judicial duties. Very, very powerful position. Informally, each member, there's only five of them, is given great latitude within their district. The two candidates are very well-funded. One is Mark Ridley Thomas, has a tremendous amount of union money. An exorbitant amount was spent in June on his behalf, and it's assumed that the same amount will be spent for him in November. But because you have the presidential election and all the propositions, it's really being drowned out by those elections. And so it's really having to buy airtime and get your message across, which with all the money that is being spent on behalf of Mark Ridley Thomas, you would think that he would have the advantage, though Bernard Parks is a formidable candidate, and if it was just equal without the unions being involved, I would probably give the advantage to Parks.
Are their backgrounds playing a significant part in their campaign?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think you see that the support that Mark Ridley Thomas has had with the unions is really helping him in terms of funding it. And you see that not that Bernard Parks is any way anti-union. Again, he's a Democrat. So it's that is actually the biggest, besides the two candidates, the biggest player in this whole election is the role of the unions and the amount of money that they are spending in this, on this election.
Can you just maybe elaborate? How else are they playing a role in this campaign?
Well, number one, they're funding him. So that's, I mean, they're not actually giving the money directly to Mark Ridley Thomas's campaign, but they're spending it on his behalf by running commercials, by paying for volunteers, by sending out mail, and, you know, really focusing on this election.
Finally, it's been a question on the national scale, race as, you know, is it a factor? Is it an important factor? Do you find, you know, with two African-American candidates, do you find that race is a factor in this campaign?
Well, it's not so much race of the candidates, because as you mentioned, both of them are African-American, but the district, while the plurality, the largest number of voters in the district are African-American, they are not the majority. There's almost as many Anglo-Americans, and there's a large Hispanic population there. So the two candidates have to appeal beyond their ethnic base. And so, yeah, racial and ethnic politics is incredibly important in this in this election. Both of these candidates have been extremely good throughout their careers about being inclusive. I mean, I would consider both of these guys as people who have made it part and parcel of who they are to reach across their ethnic base.
Professor Guerra, thank you so much for spending some time with us today. Journalists and students gathered downtown to focus on diversity in the media. Pete Griffin reports.
The California Chicano News Media Association, in collaboration with the USC Annenberg School for Communication, kicked off its 30th annual Opportunities Conference today. The two-day event gives attendees the chance to meet with a broad range of media employers. Annenberg sophomore Yasmin Al-Shawa is attending the conference. She says a diverse country needs a diverse media.
Because the United States is actually, it's really diverse, and to have people as journalists that are diverse, it brings a whole different light, a whole different perspective.
Al-Shawa and other conference goers hope employers continue to build an ever more diverse workforce. Pete Griffin, Annenberg Radio News.
Two robbery suspects are in custody after police found them hiding on a house roof in Jefferson Park this morning. The 18-year-old men were arrested for trespassing, but they are believed to have carried out a string of robberies near USC with an accomplice. USC public safety officers approached the three men last night. The men ran away, but a team of public safety and LAPD officers spotted the two on the roof shortly after midnight. The third man is still at large. An LAPD officer is in the hospital after his police cruiser smashed into a parked big rig truck early this morning in South Los Angeles. A preliminary investigation revealed the officer driving the car may have fallen asleep at the wheel. Police say the truck was parked illegally near the intersection of 35th and Western. Rescuers had to cut the roof off the cruiser to free the officer. Now we check in with Ren Althaus to find out what's coming up on the Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision. Ren, what's going on?
Thanks, Lata. Coming up at 6 on ATVN, more on the economic crisis. U.S. investors are still not showing much confidence in the market, and the Bush administration may have to take over more banks. Also, the virus on campus infected 10 more students today, making the overall number of students infected 415. And you may have seen those popular SNL skits making fun of politicians involved in the presidential campaign. We'll talk about if the jokes could actually make a lasting impression on the candidates' reputations. Coming up tonight on Annenberg TV News.
Ren, thanks for that. Well, that's it for this Thursday. We had help today from David Sobrage, Kevin Patra, and Jean-Luc Renault. Rishi Deshaun was our producer today. And for all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Lata Pandya. Thank you.